Sometimes at night I cry myself to sleep. After everybody else has gone to bed, knowing once again I've gotten in too deep, and the waters will soon be above my head. And I beg of you to change the world around. And I'll wake to the waters deep enough to drown me. But through it all, you taught me how to swim. And when I hear the thunder and I think I'm going under, I remember pitched and tossed, and the storm begins to build inside of me. And I beg of you to change the world around me. As fear and faith are fighting for control amid the raging waters, rolling all around me.
Million angels in here praising God this morning. Amen.
Yes.
But you know what? They can't join the song that we're going to sing.
That's right. Amen.
Because they don't know what it is to be redeemed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead and let our musicians be seated if you'd like to. I love being a son of God. I love having something on the inside of me that responds to the Lord. And that's the greatest thing you can possibly have. That's greater than any gift of music, any gift of businessmanship, any gift of carpentry, any gift that you can imagine. The greatest gift you can ever imagine is something on the inside that responds to the Word.
Amen.
Amen. That's about where I'm at. That's about the only thing I've got going for me. Because I can't sing, I can't carpet, I can't do nothing. But I tell you what, I've got the seed of God that responds to the Word.
Amen.
I'll take that. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on a little thought that I feel the Lord's been dealing with me for a few days now. I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Have a few scriptures I'd like to read and I'd like to speak up to you on where art thou? And she'll have these on the multimedia for us. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. Then we want to go to Genesis 2, 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. We'll go to one more scripture in Genesis 3, verses 7 through 10. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam, his wife, hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask you, Father, to please, Lord, let me get myself out of the way. God, if I can just give it to them the same way you gave it to me, Lord, I believe it would bless them, Father. Lord, it would help them to draw closer to you. I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, take control of this service, touch every heart. Lord, may be tired from being up late last night from the fellowship and things, God, but I ask you, help us to discipline ourselves this morning in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. At one time, the most joyful feeling was to walk in the cool of the evening with God. And once you're to imagine Adam as he was a son that was positionally placed. Would you agree with that? He was a man that was in the Garden of Eden. He knew who he was. He knew what he was supposed to do. He knew that he could tell the tree to go to a certain place. He could tell the wind to stop at a certain speed. This was a man that knew who he was. It's a man that knew where he was standing. And God told him, he said, you know, in the cool of the evening, he could fellowship with him as a son of God, lip to ear. And he could come down and talk to Adam, and Adam could talk to God, and it was a joyful thing for him. But it came to a point here where it says that he was afraid of God.
Right.
No, Brother Graham said that he was covered by a holy veil at that time.
Right.
He said, and then whenever they stepped down to save Eve, because we know that Adam, he knew what he was doing. He stepped down for Eve. He took on the sin veil. Amen?
Yes.
And when he took on this sin veil, what he did, he lowered himself to a point where he no longer had the fellowship with God like he once did.
Right, right.
And you know, and through time, they had steps that they would do with burnt offerings and burnt sacrifices to draw them a little closer to God. But there was never quite the fellowship like Adam had. Because Adam truly had it where he could fellowship with God lip to ear. Or let's read a quote to you. It says, now, self-will, then God comes into the man, into the heart, which is the spirit. Then the spirit makes the soul, and then the soul dwells in the body. Now, when a man is converted, say, just that little white button starts in his heart. Now, that part is God. And when that he's born again with the Spirit of God, God's Spirit dwells in him. Now, He can let that spirit grow and take out all the roots of bitterness and press God's way through him again. He can become back in the same condition he was when he was in the Garden of Eden. Jesus says in Mark 11:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and no doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, you have what you said." That puts him right back again, supreme again. It puts him right back in the condition. Now, I want you to listen to this. He says, "Now we're made up of light meters. Inside of us is cosmic light." Now, that cosmic light is a light that they can take an x-ray with. That x-ray doesn't come from the x-ray light. It comes from your own light. And then if this cosmic light, say, could push to a place where not cosmic light, but eternal light, God would dwell supremely to do our thinking, to do our walking, to do our talking. Then it's no more longer the man, it's God in the man. Now, he's got light, life. Eternal life is the light of God that dwells in the man. And if he will yield to the Spirit more, he becomes unhuman, sinner-like, and becomes more God-like. Here not long ago, and Brother Branham goes on talking about the light of the x-ray. He says that there's actually a light that's inside you. When you go to the x-ray, they put the x-ray, it's actually a light that's already inside you. Do you believe that? Have you ever noticed it's the light that's inside us that exposes us every time?
Right.
You can try to have something in your life that you maybe you know about it, and you're saying, I'm going to hide this, but let the presence of God come in your midst, and that light on the inside says, here it is. Right here. I thank God for that. You can have a broke bone or something, and maybe your arm hurts, you don't know what it is. You go to the x-ray, the light will expose what the problem is.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll have a problem in your life and you say, God, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just don't feel right. Come in the presence of God and let that light come down again. The light will expose you.
Amen.
I want to be exposed this morning.
Amen.
In Philippians 2:5-11, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being made found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that every name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things of heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." I want everything that's in me to bow down now and say, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And my attitude, I want my attitude to bow now, says Jesus Christ is my Lord. My healing, when I'm hurt, I want my pain through my pain. I want to bow down right now and say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. I may hurt so bad I can't hardly talk, but Jesus Christ is my Lord. I may have everything in my life maybe look like it's falling away, but I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. You know, I may be able to go to a public place and you feel filth everywhere around. You see people doing a bunch of nonsense, but I'll tell you, Jesus Christ is my Lord. And one day, they're going to testify the same thing.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
I tell you what, I want everything in my life to represent that.
Amen.
In Matthew 23:10-12, it says, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that greatest is among you, you shall not be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. He that shall humble himself shall be exalted." We need to humble ourselves before God and say, "God, I ain't nothing. You're worthy of the praise.
Yes.
You're worthy of the glory." You know, Eve come to a point where she exalted herself, because if she would have never exalted herself, she said, "You know what, I never want to be above my Lord. I never want to see something that God don't want me to see." You know what, God, the way God produced that at that time, he said, "Let there be. Let there be a tree," and there was a tree that brought forth of its kind.
Right.
Let there be a cow, and there will be a cow to bring forth of its kind. Let there be this by the spoken word of God, and she tried to do it herself. She tried to put her hands into it, into creation, and every time she stick her hands into it, it messes up. It's the same thing for us. The only way that you can ever truly have a real experience, it's no sensations of the flesh,
but it's by the spoken word of God. The spoken word can come to him and say, God, I believe that. I may not look like it, I may not feel like it, but I believe the word of God. And it's a miracle. Amen.
When God was made flesh and come, this is Brother Brown, he said, when God was made flesh and become the Messiah, then if we can yield ourselves to be the anointed ones like he was, we become Messiahettes, little lights. And that's what the church is supposed to be, lights, little anointed ones. That's God's church, his standing light in the light of Messiah, risen Christ in his people, the anointed ones, carrying forth his light into all the church ages. Sometimes it's almost completely out, then it comes back again. God's anointed one, God's Messiah church. If Messiah means the anointed ones, that means king. Then if the church is anointed by the Messiah's Spirit, it becomes a lesser but still a Messiah because it has his light, reflecting his power, reflecting his glory, reflecting his dominion, so it is Messiah. Oh, how it reflects his kingdom and his domain. The trouble today, we've got organized church to death. We've got organization instead of Messiah light. We've got Russell light, Prossel light, and all the other kinds of light. But what we need is Messiah light. What the church needs today is the light of the Messiah.
Right.
Say amen.
Amen.
We've got the denominations and everything that's so beautiful. They can say their words exactly right. They can act a certain way.
Right.
They can take perfect form. But where's the life?
Right.
You know, I would rather have an old rusty coat like Brother Brenham had. I'd rather have just no typewriter at the end of my trailer where I didn't have nothing else but have the presence of God among me. You know what? I don't want to go ahead of myself. I'll pace myself. I can do it all in order. Sometimes you want to get straight to the cherries.
Yes.
Being positionally placed, we reflect the power and dominion of God. We must be positionally placed in the same way a diamond on a ring in the wrong position won't show its beauty to its full extent. Positionally placed, it'll in the light, it will capture an audience. I remember one time I was looking for a ring for my wife. And I was working and made less than $3,000 a month before taxes. and that budget with looking at a diamond, well, that doesn't really go together. I remember I was looking at all these diamonds, and I seen this one place, the light was out in the deal, and I thought, well, that must be the cheap section. That's where I'm going to go. If I went down to the end, I thought, this is where I'm able to afford one. And I seen this ring, and it didn't really look like much, but it was big. Seen this big old ring, and there wasn't a price tag on it. I was like, yeah, this will be the cheap ring here. I'll go with this, but it looks good. Looks kind of good. And they pulled that thing out, and she said, oh, the light's wrong over here. She said, bring it over here. That old dull ring, she brought that thing over the light. I was just mesmerized. Because the light struck that diamond. I'm telling you what, it brought out the character and the beauty that was in the diamond. That diamond, the character was already there, but it had to be put in a position and a place where we could bring out its true beauty. And it was so beautiful, it struck me. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's beautiful. And then she told me the price.
So she got the ones you got.
get what you can afford. But I'm telling you what, we are like that diamond. We need to be positionally placed. We've got the character, we've got everything that we have in us. God's molding us, God's making us, but we've got to be tweaked exactly right in that light. And then when we're walking in the midst of a crooked, filthy nation, them devils all around us, they may be looking at us, let the presence of God light on us one time. I'm telling you what, them devils have to look back. Why? Because the light is on the diamond. We're that diamond. You know what, we got the light, we're the diamond. Help me be in the position of that light, God. Help me conduct myself in a way where I am constantly reflecting his domain, reflecting his character, reflecting his greatness, because it's him. Without that light, we ain't nothing. Without that light, that diamond may as well be a piece of coal in the ground.
Right.
That's all it's worth. And I tell you what, the same way we are a son or daughter of God, we ain't got no authority, we ain't got nothing as long as we ain't walking in the light. But when we walk in the light, we are reflecting his authority. We can reflect his kingmanship. God, I feel all of that. That's how we can walk and be an invincible army, because we're reflecting him and not us. We're reflecting his character.
Okay.
I want to be a good diamond. God took Moses back in the desert to get him to a place where he can mold him into a position of authority. Took him out of his comfort zone. When soldiers go to boot camp, they go away from home, away from all their comfort, to mold character for authority. The reason they do that, because if you're real close to home, you're going to run home to mommy, and mommy cook your supper, mommy can do these things. But see, when you go there, they're going to strip you down to the bare wood, and they're going to make you what they want you to be, because they're going to be making you for battle. But you got, they got to get you away from the comfort zone, get you away from these things. And when Paul comes to the light, he didn't go straight into the ministry. He went to Arabia. He went back. He wanted to study the scriptures. He wanted to see the word of God.
Right.
And this is what Brother Branham says. And this is what Brother Branham's talking about where he was in Tucson. And back in the desert. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. If you're familiar with the message, you study the message, you know what I'm talking about. But there's something about God that he drives a man to do things that's beyond any thinking of his own, so that it can be to the glory and honor of God. I feel that no self-honor, but I feel it a privilege that it was to leave everything that was called dear to me to get here into this wilderness and suffer like I have never suffered in my life. There in this wilderness or this desert, but I believe that in doing that, in obeying what God commanded to be done, God has opened to us the mysteries of this last day, and we are here with this message. I know that each one of you, if you like to do, I have so, this is Brother Graham talking about that. Hey, I'm going to ask you something. You ever have times where you say, you know, I wish I could just feel that presence of God like I felt in today.
Amen.
I felt it so strong. I'm going to tell you something. Brother Graham went through the same thing.
Yeah.
He says, I know each one of you feel like I do. I am so hungry to see the Spirit of God moving.
Right.
I just can't hardly stand it. Some experiences I just had up in the mountain, just to feel that once again. That something that when I was first saved was so glorious to my heart. And we come into a place, can sit and see it among us, and we are drying. As we sit here in the desert, I get among my brethren. They talk with me. I talk with them. Always in a little way of watching, filling out there with the Spirit as it was, to see just the condition of that brother. To see what's wrong, I begin to feel us all reclining, getting away from the Spirit. It's become too natural a thing to us. We must worship in the Spirit, where the Spirit of God, listen to this, not only our message should be the flame of the hour, it should be the flame in our hearts, see? It's got to be in our hearts, or we can't rightly present it to the people. The Spirit has to pack the message itself, and I'm trusting and believing in every one of you to be a real Christian.
Right.
I don't want just the message. I want the fire of the message. But I don't want just the fire of the message. I want it in my heart. Because to truly represent what we believe, we got to have it in our heart.
Amen.
You know, a man can try to pretend like he loves his wife, but it'll show after a while.
Right.
You got a real love inside you, I'm telling you what, it'll show. And I'm telling you what, it's the same thing with us loving God.
Amen.
Truly loving this message. Truly loving God. You think about how God will make us act like a peculiar people because we are seeking the will of God. We got people that drive all the way from Garfield, Arkansas, all the way here to passing all these fine buildings, beautiful churches, all these things, to a little bitty building here where we struggle with the air conditioner, with the air conditioner. Thank God for the air conditioner. I don't mean that in an arrogant way, but you know what I'm saying. We struggle. We struggle all the way across from Oklahoma, all the way to Arkansas, to a desert, if it were. And we're sitting here struggling, and sometimes it's a battle to get through. But why? Because we are seeking the will of God.
Amen.
Because we're saying, God, I believe there's a rapture. I believe this message. I believe there's a fire in the message. I'm willing to do what it takes to be there. God, if I need to be in the desert, keep me in the desert.
Amen.
I want to be. I would rather have this and have the fire of God than to have a great majority of people that don't have the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
I want to see God working and moving, and I believe I see Him.
Amen.
We've seen miracle after miracle after miracle just in here in this little building, the little bit of time we've been here.
Amen.
One of our greatest soldiers we've got is in the trench holes right now, Sister Pansy. I'm telling you what, and she'll be packing them right back with another testimony.
Amen.
Adam and Eve were positionally placed as sons and daughters in the Garden of Eden, which gave them authority. And today, we must be positionally placed to have authority. An officer must conduct himself in a manner that is expected. to keep his authority.
You take an officer, he's got that badge, and he can walk because he's got the authority. And, you know, he can step up, he can stand in front of a car that's coming 90 miles an hour, and he can stand in front of that, hold his hand out, and that car will stop. Not because of the officer, but because of the authority that officer has.
Right.
But you let that officer start conducting himself in a way that is not acceptable, they'll strip that badge from him. And that same man can stand out in front of that truck coming toward him 100 miles an hour, it'll run him straight over. Why? Because he abused the authority and lost it. I'm telling you what, son and daughter of God, we've got authority. But let us start walking in sin. Let us start walking in a way that's not according to the Word of God. Yes. We can stand there and say, I stand as a son of God. You better move out of the way. You better make sure you're standing in authority. Because I'm telling you what, if we're walking in sin and we're allowing it in our life, that authority might not be there. I want to stand with authority. You say, well, Brother Daniel, how can I know? Maybe I've got it, maybe I don't. If you've got condemnation in your heart and you're saying it's wrong, I would say you probably better check your authority.
That's right.
Is that the truth?
That's good.
If you've got peace in your heart before God, when you're praying to God, you stand as a son or daughter of God and say, God, I stand here by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, I made mistakes, but I repented of them. God, forgive me for it. You leave that behind you, you can stand with authority before God. But I tell you what, if God's dealing with your heart to get something out of your life and you allow it to sit there, you better be careful with that authority you're claiming to have. I want to walk with the authority. We be positionally placed. Because to be positionally placed in the light of God's Word, we can't walk in condemnation. That's one of the worst feelings in the world, is to walk in condemnation.
That's right.
It's the worst thing in the world to delay and toss and turn and toss and turn. It'll wear you out more than having a chain and ball around your neck. I've never had a chain and ball around my neck in a literal sense, but you can just imagine what it would be like.
Right.
I want to walk free. Freedom. Remember, Adam come to the point where it was condemnation. He come to a point where all the times before it was exciting to come to the meeting because God was going to come preach to him. God was going to come fellowship with him. But he became a point where he was burdened. He was to the point because he knew he had things in his life that shouldn't be there, to the point where he even tried to cover it up. So many times the devil will try to get us to cover it up. God, help me not do that. Help me to search my heart, God. Purge me this morning. You say amen. Purge me, God, this morning. If there's something that I'm trying to hold in my life, God, let me expose that thing. Because the light inside you will expose it. We can try to hold it, and we can try to say, you know, it's not right, it's okay to have this. But every time that preacher comes, he preaches the word to you, that thing will start exposing.
Right.
He'll say, here's a broke bone. Here's a hurt rib. A husband and wife can have a little spat between them. He said, Scripture says, you better make sure those things are right. That way your prayers ain't hindered. Because when you get those things out of the way, I tell you what, you can move mountains. A doctor must prove himself in a way to keep his authority. He must study to show himself approved. You let a doctor go out there, and he's got the authority to write prescriptions and all these things, but let him start writing wrong prescriptions and people start dying, pretty soon they're going to take his prescription license away.
Right.
I wish they'd start taking some prescription license away.
Yeah.
You got a lot of quack doctors.
That's right.
And spiritual too. We must be positionally placed and conduct ourselves in a way to receive the authority. The only way to truly successful is to seek the will of God. In Matthew 6, 9 through 13. You got that. I'm going to bring that up. After this manner, therefore, we pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I want to be able to put my life. I didn't bring that whole. I didn't put the scripture apart. I wanted it on there. That was my fault. I transferred from a laptop to a tablet. That's what happened when we did that. What I want to get to the point is, let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When we're seeking for the will of God, when you say, God, I want your will to be in my life as it is in heaven. Help my life be in such a way to where it can be, in my walk in this world, can be an Eden condition. My walk in this world, we don't live in an Eden, we live in a Satan's Eden. But I'm telling you what, in the midst of this nation, we can have an Eden. Do you believe that? In the midst of a crooked, perverse generation, right now, we can walk with an Eden condition with God.
Galatians 5:13 through 16 says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not the liberty of an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed with one another." That's what he says. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." When we walk in the Spirit.
Right. Brother Tony, you were stepping all in my sermon we were talking about there earlier. We need to come to a point where we pray. The Lord was dealing with my heart the other day. I was going to go to lunch. Something as simple as going to lunch. I said, "You know, I'm going to go to lunch." And the Lord told me, "Why don't you stop and pray before you go?" As simple as it may seem, I sat there and I said, "God, where do you want me to go to lunch?" Simple as it may seem. And I tell you what, I believe the Lord's come down and spoke to my heart. And as simple as it was, that's the best lunch I ever had. And spent way less money. Something as simple as that. I believe we need to, when we go to lunch, we need to say, "God, where do you want me to go? God, when I go away and get in my car before I go somewhere, God, where do you want me to go? Protect my car, God. Help me to walk in your will, God. Help me to do, take your wife by the hand before you go and say, God, help us. Protect my family. Protect my home." Why? Because we're walking in the Spirit. We're striving together to walk in the Spirit. Because I tell you what, when you're walking in the Spirit, you can't be searching for pornography. When you're walking in the Spirit, you can't be stealing.
That's right.
When you're walking in the Spirit, you can't be gossiping. Because I tell you what, the Spirit won't need you there. You won't fit.
Right.
I'm telling you what, we need to walk in the Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, when someone starts bashing your brother, you won't sit there and listen to it. You'll walk away from it.
Right.
I tell you what, I'm going to tell you, listening to gossip is just as bad as talking about it. I tell you what, it's a filthy spirit, and that spirit will get on you, and it'll lead to another person, to another person, to another person. The next thing you know, the whole church is full of gossip spirit. This nonsense that we see of Black Lives Matter, I'm going to tell you what, it's a spirit.
Yes.
That's a spirit, and if you ain't careful, it'll get on you. You'll start watching, and that's what the devil's doing. He wants people to come against one another. He wants this group to be against them and them against them. Whenever we ought to be black, white, red, yellow, all of us have our arms one another. Say, "God bless you, brother." It's division. But spirits.
I tell you what, we must walk in the Spirit. We must sing in the Spirit. Brother Brennan talked about we need to worship in the Spirit. We got to get in the Spirit. You go to a ball game, and you can watch people hooting and hollering and all those things, and you'll look at that and say, "What in the, them guys are crazy." Get in the Spirit a little bit, and you're like, "That's right, touchdown." Why? You got in the Spirit.
I tell you what, when you're in a worship service, you can praise God, you can dance, you can shout, you can say, "Hey, man," your hair going on the side. Can you imagine a group of people coming out there, neck turned sideways, all these things, and, "Boy, you must be the preacher." No, I just sat in the back pew. I was just good preaching. No, you must be something. I'm just a piano player. You got to get in the Spirit. You got to get in the worship, the same Spirit that minister's preaching in. I tell you, you'll receive it the same way he's receiving it.
Amen.
But a lot of times, the reason we don't receive what we're supposed to, you say, "Well, it's the preacher's fault." Maybe it can be. But I'll tell you what, a lot of times it's our fault because we're not getting in the Spirit. And you can't live outside the Spirit 6 days of the week and then get in the Spirit on Sunday. Because it don't work that way.
Right.
Yeah, you may well try to creep by for a little while, but after a while, you're going to find out this ain't working. I want to get in the Spirit on Monday. I want to get in the Spirit on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday. By Sunday, I'm so in the Spirit. Come on, preacher, step up a little bit. You say amen?
Yeah.
We got to get in the Spirit. We got to work. That's something that we have to strive for because we live in a Satan's Eden. Where everywhere you go, especially as a young man, you go, or a young man, old man, it don't matter how old you are. You're going through, you got billboards everywhere of women with no clothes on. You go to Walmart, you got women, no clothes on. You go here, you got women, no clothes on. You got women here putting paint on their face, cutting their hair, making themselves look like Hollywood. And something inside of a sister's automatically in a woman wants to be pretty. Automatically she has something. There's nothing wrong with that, wanting to be pretty, but keep it holy.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something inside them. Everywhere they go, they're tempted. Trim just a little bit of your hair off. Tempted. Put a little bit of paint on. Tempted. Do this just a little bit. Give a little bit of a high heel shoe. It won't hurt just a little bit. It's okay.
Right.
But I tell you what, a little bit turned into a lot of it.
That's right.
You start giving in just a little bit to the devil. Next thing you know, you're way down the road and you're thinking, how in the world did I get here? How? Because you gave in. You weren't walking in the Spirit. Because when we walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
Scripture says, a lot of people say, God will never give you more than you can bear. Study the Scriptures again, you won't find that. God wants you to put things where you can't bear. Because once you come to that point, you've got to depend on God. But if you can always do it yourself, you'll never have to depend on God. That's why God allows us to go through things. God, I can't do it anymore. He says, fine, give it to me now. And then God can do miracles.
Right.
The Scripture says you will never be tempted more than you can bear. But He'll always leave a way of escape. God will always leave a way for you to escape. No matter what that temptation, going through this Satan's eating, the devil's going to tempt you on every hand. But God will always leave a way of escape.
That's right.
How's He going to do it? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit of the Word where you're walking. You don't have to quote the entire Bible, know how to quote it. You got the Spirit. A lot of people say, Brother Daniel, because I can help the Lord, but the inspiration was on me. A lot of times I can quote Scriptures and it just goes. It ain't me, it's God. But I've had people tell me, says, you bet you can quote the whole Bible. I said, no, I can't. But I've got the author of the Bible. I've got Him.
Yes.
That's all I need. I don't need to be able to quote the Bible. I need to have the author of the Bible. Because when you've got the author, He'll take care of the rest. How do you do that? Walking in the Spirit.
Right.
I'm telling you what, we need to let go of everything that will hinder you. Let every weight that easily beset you, pull that thing out of the way and run this race with patience. Run this race and you keep your eyes on the finish line. When I was in Honduras, you go down certain streets, you'll see a bunch of women, most of all I've ever seen. They were all running. And I thought it was just a marathon. All of them had a rope tied around their waist. And behind them, about 6 feet, was a tire. And they were running down the street, and they were just in this big old tire behind them. And you've seen tires everywhere. What is it? Those things are to give them resistance to make them run faster. A lot of times we got a lot of tires tied around us. A lot of weight around us that we don't have to have. A lot of times we carry a lot of weight on us that we don't need. But you have to just cut the rope and let it go. Say amen. Sometimes it's those things that we hold on to real close that's just hard to let them go. You can let go of it for just a couple of days, and next thing you know, you've got that tire right back around you.
That's right.
And you're trying to run to work. You're trying to run in Satan's Eden, and it's harder to run past because you've got all this weight on you. What is it? It's excess baggage you've got on us. God, help me cut the rope. God, help me cut the rope to whatever it is that's holding me back. You know in your life, in your own heart, because we all fight devils. None of us perfect in here. Every one of us fighting devils every week. Can you say amen?
Right.
Every single one of us. We've got struggles. Every one of us have got that tire that always tries to get around our waist and hold us back from our prayer. Hold us back from seeking God. Hold us back from doing those things. We know what those are. We need to have God help me cut the tire.
Yes.
Help me cut the rope this morning. Where art thou? I want to ask you, where are you at right now? God comes in the cool of the evening, right? And says, where art thou? Do you got a tire around your waist? Are you positionally placed in the Word? Or do we need God to position us this morning? We need God to come in and cut it off. I had a man ask me the other day, he said, he was a preacher. He asked me, he said, I want to ask you something, Daniel. He said, we're considering putting this thing into our church to where we're going to counsel people that's battling with homosexual. And he said, we're going to put them with them with a woman. We're going to counsel them in the right way. Do you think that? I said, absolutely not. It's a spirit. You get rid of that spirit, that homosexual thing, leave. Same thing as a spirit that will cause you to keep committing adultery or looking at things you shouldn't be. It's
right.
A spirit.
Amen.
And you can try to train and hold that thing. It's like trying to train a rattlesnake to be a good snake. You can try to train that thing all you want to. The more you try to mold him, you know what you're going to do? You're going to make him mad.
That's right.
The madder he gets, the more he's going to strike at you. What you got to do is kill that thing.
Yep.
Brother Graham talked about it in another way. He talked about a stubborn spirit. He says, like messing with a rattlesnake is that ignore it. And it'll go away. You ever? He said, I thought that was the most craziest thing in the world. He said, a person come to me and said, Brother Branham, I have a stubborn spirit. You know how of a miracle that is for a stubborn person to say that?
Yeah.
A stubborn person to recognize I'm stubborn? They come to him and said, Brother Branham, I got a stubborn spirit. How do I overcome this thing? And Brother Branham said, it's like a little rattlesnake. And you trying to control it. You're like putting a stick on it, making it matter. He said, ignore it and walk away. He said, nothing will leave you. Tell you what, we need to ignore it. James, this is out of that scripture. James said, resist the devil steadfast,
right,
and he'll flee from you. When those temptations keep coming towards you, resist the devil. When those things start coming, resist the devil. God, there's temptations coming my way. I don't know how much longer. Resist the devil. Your word says, quote the word of God, dear Lord. The word says that I'll never be tempted more than I can bear. I am defying the laws of gravity. Gravity should say, it should be impossible for me to serve God at this hour because it's so dark. It should be impossible for a sister to be able to wait until she's married and come to the front and kiss for the first time. It should be impossible. It should be impossible for us to be a message believer in this hour. It should be impossible. With us, it is impossible. With God, it's all things are possible. You say amen?
Yes.
Where art thou this morning? God, I want the holy veil on me this morning. Right. I want that holy veil on me and on our young people. When they're going through, as a father and myself, I see our children, I see the children of our church, I see the believers around the world going through the things they're doing, and it puts an urgency in me to want to spend more time on my knees, saying, God, help us. God, help them during this time. It's 10 times the hot fire furnace as it was whenever I was there. See these things going on. There's something inside me that brings an urgency. I want to ask you, who's got an urgency this morning? You know what a real urgency is? I remember one time when a little fella right there in the blue shirt, Elijah. I remember one time we were at a store, and he was just a little bitty fella, and me and Vicky were looking at clothes. I don't even know if she remembers this. I remember we were looking at clothes, and he disappeared. And I looked around, and I'm going to tell you what, there was a desperation that came across us. Our heart just pounding, like, where in the world is he at? We started looking, and we first wasn't, no, it's no big deal. He's just right here, no big deal. We start looking, slowly start looking around. He's around here somewhere. And I'm telling you what, the more time goes on, you get a little bit more frantic. Your old heart starts pounding a little harder, and you're looking like, where is he at? I don't see him anywhere. And you're looking everywhere frantically looking for him, more of a desk. What is it? It's an urgency. We got to digging more around, and that little fellow was sitting under one of the little clothes racks, sitting underneath there just playing hide and go seek. He's just a little bitty fellow. He didn't know what he was doing. He's just a little bitty guy. The point of it wasn't about him. The point was it brought an urgency inside of us. It brought a desperation on the inside of us, where something on the inside of us says, God, I got to find him. I'm telling you what, God, help that desperation be in our heart to walk in the Spirit. Let that same urgency be in us where we can protect one another. I preached the message last time I preached here, talking about let our eyes be open. Many times, you can look back, hindsight's 20/20, and you can see where you were so bombarded by looking around that you missed what was happening. God, help our eyes be open this morning where we ain't missing what God's saying. Help us not miss it, what God's trying to say right now. Because I tell you what, we're right at rapture time. I truly believe that. I truly believe that. We've said that 100 times and say, you know what, I believe this is it. I'm telling you, there's something here, brothers and sisters. We're at rapture time. You believe that?
Yes.
Let's all stand up this morning. Help us, God, walk in the Spirit. Help us to not bite and devour one another, but have a love toward one another, God. Help us, God, be able to be positionally placed as son or daughter of God. Don't try to serving in our power. I'll tell you what, when young people, when you're going through this life, when you got all the temptation things, you walk in the Spirit. And that diamond will shine. It'll reflect His glory. It'll reflect His domain. It'll reflect everything that He is because you're positionally placed. I want my pastor be positionally placed. I want that brother to be so positionally placed when he stands up here, I want to just put us in awe. Amen. We can look at the presence of God, not in my brother Tony, but the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, I believe that. I believe it. What brother Tim leads the song.
Shine on.
all your heart. You know, I don't ever come up here trying to think I'm something. I don't try to bring a new message. I believe we have a perfect message. We try to bring back the truth that we see in this life. I know we're living in a hard hour. I just want to encourage you, seek God. Seek God to help me walk in the Spirit. Help me to be, because a good leader is a good follower. Someone that can follow directions really well. God, help me to be a good follower of this word. A good follower of this message. That's what the Tony did. Anybody has a need of prayer, we'd be glad to pray.
More to us than anything else. You know, I've been on both sides of the fence, and I've seen what it's like to have the Lord use you and what it's like for Him not to. And there's nothing like being in His presence and seeing Him bless other people's lives through you. And so we are the diamonds, we believe, but we want to be in the light, like Brother Daniel said, be there. You know, you probably get tired of me mentioning it, but you know, Brother Branham said, this is the greatest hour. If you take and think about what his position was as an end-time prophet to bring to us the final truths that will bring us a body change, I think the man knew what he was talking about. And he actually said that if God would have given him the opportunity before the world was, he said, William Branham, come here, and he let him look out all across the ages and said, what day would you like to come and live on this earth and work for me? Brother Branham said, I would pick this day. He said, I would have loved to have been here when he was walking up and down the shores of Galilee and doing the things he was doing then. But he said, I would pick this day right at his coming. And so I've said many times, you know, Lord, let me see through his eyes. Because we live in the most tremendous time. And I will tell you that if you were fighting in the battle in World War I or World War II, and you fought for years and years and years, and you thought to yourself, when will this ever end? When it come right down to it and that last battle was fought and victory was won, I'm pretty sure that you'd go away and all the rest of the world would say, well, tell me about that final battle. Tell me what happened. How did this, all this chaos that went raged on for so long, how did it finally come to an end? Well, saints, we're right here in that battle right now. This is the final battle.
That's right.
This is where all heaven and earth is looking down upon us and all the angels and all the saints that have gone on, and they're holding their breath, as it were, watching to see what's happening. And this battle and the victory has been given to us. It's in our hands to make this thing play out the way God has said. He's given it to us, but we've got to, as we heard last night, we got to dig our ditches. If we want to have the blessings of God, we got to dig our ditches. And that's what we heard today. We've got to fight this battle. So that this war, this final thing, is won. And so we want to do that. Brother Raymond said right there, I think the quote that Brother Daniel was there was one of my favorite quotes. I've mentioned many times before. Brother Branham, at the end of his ministry, he said, I don't know about it, you guys, but I am so hungry for a move of God. A man that had seen the dead raised time and time again,
yes,
had seen God move, the pillar of fire come in, and limbs and things. You can just imagine what all Brother Branham has seen. And here he is, he's standing there, and he's saying, I am so hungry to see a move of God.
Yeah.
A man that is in his 50s, I guess it was, and leaned back on the bed and said, boy, if you're going to do something for God, you better get it done.
Yeah.
And that's the way I feel. If I'm going to do something for God, I need to get it done. And so I believe every believer feels that way.
Yes.
Lord, it don't make no difference what God has done through your life. You still want to move on and do something more for the Lord. And so that's the way Brother Renan was. He said, I am so hungry for a move of God. And I'll go ahead and say this. I've mentioned it a little bit before. But, you know, he said that we need desperation. Brother Van talked about this morning, something to make us desperate. You have a child come up missing and you can't find him just for about 10 seconds is all it takes. You get frantic.
Yeah.
What about your child being lost to eternity? You ought to be frantic.
Amen.
To stop that from happening. And so, you know, we live in this hour. Brother Van said, you know, you need desperation and you can't give it to yourself. But situations bring this desperation. And I'll go ahead and say this. I think we should ask God for desperation. If our hearts are not desperate enough for lost souls, then we should ask Him and say, Lord, do something in me. Because our heart, as Brother Daniel said, our heart's got to be right. If it's not right in our heart, it's not going to be expressed properly.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and tell off on myself. And so I might delete this part for the internet so that it doesn't offend anybody if they happen to listen to it. But, you know, my daughter Leah, you know, she come visiting and she had this guy with her and I, you know, just sickening to me. I'll be honest with you. It was sickening to me to see, you know, here's this guy and you can imagine, you know, what he looks like. Most of you know us and you know what we're talking about. And, you know, and I just, why, you know? And so I went from that, and all day long I was saying, God, give me the right attitude. Give me the right heart toward that man. You died for him. I don't want to have bad feelings toward that guy because of the choice of life he has. And I, all day long, several times, Lord, give me the right attitude. Well, a couple of days later, I had an opportunity to kind of work side by side with him just a little bit on Leah's car. She had some troubles, you know, and so we worked side by side there for about 10 minutes to get her car going again. And, you know, a few days later, I was out working, doing something, mowing. I think I was mowing. And she comes in, drives in with this guy. And she told my wife afterwards. She said, when we pulled in, and he's got this ring, a lip ring, right? He's got this lip ring. Leah said, when they pulled up and he seen me, he took that ring out of his mouth and came to talk to me. And I said, that's a good sign, because that man can respect. He can have respect for somebody.
Yes.
But you see, if I hadn't prayed and said, God, give me the right spirit toward him, that might not have happened. That might have been the start of the answers of my prayers.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying all to say this, our heart's got to be right in order for it to be expressed right.
Amen.
And so we've got to fight. That's a battle I have to fight. That's a battle we all have to fight. So that we can get out there, because I heard Brother Raymond say it the other day. He said that the true gospel is something that does something down inside your heart and it puts you out there making converts to Christ, bringing people to the Lord. And that's what we want. And so, I was sharing with brothers in the back just a little while ago. When we're in Mexico, the pastors down there, when we get ready, we get out of up and get around and we're going to go do something for the day, wherever we're headed, we get in the cars, then brothers will stop before they ever, you know, they may not even start their car, but before they even move, they'll stop and they will pray fervently over their protection for that day, for their travels. And you know why they do that? Because they know they need it. And I was just sharing with the brothers, we're entering to that hour now here, that we have to do this. And I do it every morning before I go. I pray for my family. I pray and ask God to protect us and keep us. I get in the truck and I do that. I'm not trying to mock them, but I realize we need Him. And we're entering into a time where all these promises that the Word of God has told us belongs to the bride of Christ, these things are going to manifest.
Yeah.
And that means in order for them to manifest, we're going to be faced with circumstances where they have to manifest. And so let me encourage you, you trust God for every moment of every day, not just to protect you, but to lead you and guide you. Lead you and guide you in the right spirit so that you can live it right in front of people, and He'll keep you with all this chaos and nonsense that's erupting around the world and around our nation. We need God's protective hand. Amen. I enjoyed what I heard this morning. And you know what, Brother Brother Daniel, he can teach too, you know. These are good points. Good, solid points about condemnation in your heart. Because the Bible says if your heart condemns you not, right? Jesus says, Father, I thank you. I know that you hear me because I always do that which is pleasing in your sight. Well, you know what? We make a lot of mistakes, and maybe we can't pray that most of the time. But we've got the blood of Jesus Christ there to take away those things. Just like he said, you make that right, and then you go stand there with that authority. But you can't do it without it. Amen. And we're in the hour where we better know where we stand. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Just like preaching a funeral a couple of days ago, and I didn't really mention this to them, but you've heard it before. Whenever someone leaves this world and they're a Christian and they're waving bye to us, they turn around and they're waving hello to that other side. And this is the point I want each one of you to realize. And you can look at it more than, you know, in two different ways, just in our walk with each other as this chaos is going on around us. And we have to go to work and we have to do the things that we have to do. It's like a ship that we enter into and we have a journey for the day. And it's also like our entire life. Our life, when it's over, we're entering into this ship and we have a journey, a place to go to, but them seas are storming.
Yes.
It's a terrible storm, and we've got to sail it, and we've got to get in the boat, and I have to cross over, and my wife can't cross over the same boat I can.
Yeah.
My son and my daughters cannot cross in the same boat that I can cross in. But we've all got a place over there to go to,
yes.
And it's a stormy sea that we all have to cross through.
Yeah.
And all I can tell you is to put your confidence in Jesus Christ, and you sail that sea, and you believe that you and all your family and all your friends and loved ones, you're going to meet over on the other
Amen.
Side. And whenever each one steps off that boat, you can walk up and you can hug them. And you can say, you made it, son. You made it, daughter. You made it, wife. You made it, my brother, my sister. You made it. And there's no more after this. No more troubles. You've braved the storm, and God brought you through it. We've got to approach it that way and believe for every moment that God will get us to the other side. Amen. Because the whole thing is designed. We read it in the Bible. And He's the one that gets us through. We're nothing. We can't do anything without Him. But He does it all. Amen. I enjoyed what I heard this morning. I'm not trying to over-preach or go beyond Brother Daniel, but it's my responsibility to come along and back up the preacher. And if I believe what he said is right, I have to say so. And sometimes it's got more fervency than the other, and the times it's got a lot more fervency is because the man's speaking exactly what the Lord may be living. And you can feel the Spirit moving in that direction. So, amen. Go ahead and tell the brother.
Pour your spirit out.
Amen. I want to worship the Lord just for a couple of minutes. I appreciate God, and I appreciate God in flesh.
Amen.
I love my brothers and my sisters. I love to see that God is moving, and you know what? He's going to get us through.
Yeah.
He's going to get us through to the other side. Let's sing this in worship.
Pour your spirit out.
I need you now.
again. Just imagine, we get to leave this broken place and go into the place where what we experience here in the presence of His Word this morning, we get to experience that continue. I know what Brother Brandon was talking about, because I do it too. He said, oh God, if I could just experience You today like I did the other day, like I did so many times. Our hearts hunger and thirst for Him, the water of life. Amen. And I believe the closer we get to Him, the closer we get to that time, the more we're going to long for Him. I've illustrated before, but you get that one magnet next to the other one, and the closer they get, the more pull. If you could ask that magnet laying down on the floor or that piece of metal, that magnet gets closer. And that, if you could talk to that piece of metal, he'd say, I don't know what's happening, but something's lifting me up. I feel lighter. I don't feel bound to this world as much as I used to. Something's happened.
Yep.
Why? It's because he's getting that magnet, that great magnet from up on high, is getting closer. But let us not be like Brother Branham talked about that in his factory. He said, why did this piece of metal not go? He said, well, that's aluminum. Aluminum's not magnetized. Well, we can't help that, but he said, what about this one? That one's steel. It's magnetized to the magnet. He said, well, that one was bolted down. Let us not be bolted down, saints. Amen. If you don't know how to become detached from this world, ask God to detach you. Ask Him to help you.
Yes.
And God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.